Welcome back to Highly Successful Couples, the show that helps couples grow together instead of growing apart. I'm your host, Nick Solacek, and today we're going to talk about dating. This episode is for the singles out there that are wanting to transform their approach to dating and find the right partner. I'm going to speak directly to the people who actually want a long-term relationship. So if you're ready to meet a partner who can grow with you, today's episode is for you. Many of these principles also apply to people that are in relationships because we need to get clear on these things in dating, but we also have an opportunity to improve our current relationship by getting clear on these aspects. There are five things, five major keys that every person needs to get clear on if they want to be successful in their romantic life. And here they are: your value, your purpose, your needs, your deal breakers, and your unmet need. Dating is an anxiety-inducing experience for many people, whether they recognize it or not. And it can also be a lot of fun, but many of us struggle to have fun and enjoy ourselves because we're worried about getting hurt or hurting someone else. Maybe we're in a rush to find the right partner. We're afraid that no one will ever choose us, or we're simply unclear about what we're really looking for, and we make compromises in our selection process. So if you can focus on these five major keys, you'll be in a more confident position to attract the right person into your life. And dating is a sorting game. We have to sort. It's rare to go on one date in your life and just meet a person that is the right fit. You might be the person who goes on dates and frequently has a yes feeling, and that feeling's not reciprocated by the other person. You might feel like, I'm ready, but no one chooses me. And if that's you, you probably need to raise your standards a bit, and this episode will help with that. There are many, many factors that can impact the way you show up on a first date and in your relationships. But today we're going to focus on the high-level things. There are other keys. There are other things that matter. These are some of the high-level things that I think are most important, because it doesn't matter how much money or how good-looking you are, how well-presented you are. If you're not in touch with and aware of these five major keys, you're going to hit a lot of sticking points. Yes, we want to show up maybe well-groomed to the date with no food in our teeth. Maybe we want to do our hair, pick a nice outfit that looks stylish. We want to carry ourselves in a certain way. We want our body language to convey confidence and openness. But there are some deeper things that matter, and I want to share those with you. Number one is your value. So you need to get clear on what you are bringing to the table. Why are you a great partner? What do you have to offer? What are you bringing as a value exchange? If you're not clear on this, it will show up in your decision-making. You might end up just dating anybody who shows interest in you instead of filtering for a person who is actually a good fit. You might misread signals of romantic or sexual interest as a signal that this person actually wants what you want. Just because someone is attracted or wants to have sex with you doesn't mean they're aligned for a relationship or aligned for the relationship that you're looking for. Yes, we want to be with a partner that we are attracted to, but we also need to have some conversations with them and share about what we want, what we're looking for, in order to actually get a clearer sense of whether they're on board. Do they want the same thing? And yes, some people will lie or tell you what you want to hear in one moment, but it's harder to keep that up over time because people's actions will show you all you need to know about who they are. And your job is simply to look for that and to believe them. If they don't act or show up in a way that's important to you, let them know. If they're unwilling to make some adjustments, then it might be time to move on. So get clear on your value so that you are in a better position to say no. If you don't value yourself, it will show up in your partner selection process. For example, you might just take what you can get versus having some basic standards, having a bar that you need your partner to meet. Something that I did that totally transformed my approach to dating and the way that I showed up is that I created a list of all the reasons I thought I was a great partner. So in the notes section of your phone, I would recommend doing the same. I would create a master document that has answers to everything in this episode and reflect on these answers before each date that you go on. Aim for 40 to 50 bullet points on your value. These are sentences that speak to your gifts, your talents, and the things you're good at that are relevant to a romantic relationship. They can be simple things like, I'm a great cook, or I love to give massages, or I'm creative and thoughtful. Don't put down things that aren't true. Write about yourself in a positive way that reflects the current reality of the situation. And I find that this exercise is helpful because we all have little or big insecurities, and those things are going to show up. Those things are going to spiral and circle in our mind when we're in a vulnerable situation, when we're in this moment of like this kind of interview for a life partner. Those things are going to bubble up. We're going to hold those things inside ourselves, and it's important to be in touch with what we have to offer, what we're bringing to the table, and to also look for that in exchange. You know, look for the things that we want from someone instead of settling for just whatever we can get. All right, number two, the next major key is your purpose. Why are you dating? Beyond finding love and having a partner, what is this about for you? Long-term relationships are hard work. So if you're going to do something that's difficult, you need to get clear on why. And if you're going to make some sacrifices to be in a relationship, then what for? To what end? And if you're looking for a long-term monogamous partnership, then you're probably going to sacrifice sleeping with other people. You're probably going to sacrifice doing whatever you want, whenever you want. These are just examples, and there are different kinds of trade-offs that we have to make. The same is true if your goal was to save money or get a six-pack. You will have to make some sacrifices in order to make it happen. You will have to say no to ice cream and pizza for a bit, or you will have to say no to expensive nights out or those amazing music festivals every summer that all your friends are going to. So, what is it that you want to accomplish by being in a relationship? What is the most exciting possibility for you? Do you want to grow? Is a relationship a vehicle for your spiritual and psychological growth? Are you excited by the idea of raising a family? There are many different purposes that a relationship could serve for you. Just get clear on what that is and write that down. You might say something like, my dating purpose is to grow and learn more about myself and mature as a person. Or, I want to start a family and raise two children with a loving partner. Or, my dating purpose is to find an adventure and sex partner who will travel the world with me. You might have multiple purposes. All of these examples could be true for you. Just try and craft out in a few sentences or a short paragraph what is true, because this is something you will want to share with your dating partners right away. The faster that we can sort, the quicker that we can meet someone who is aligned. If we can have these clear outcomes that we want, and we can share those, we're going to find out right away whether this person is a fit for us. We're going to get a no. And that's not about us being rejected. It's a, hey, I want to sort for whether this is a fit or not, because I don't want to spend months and months and years of my life inside of this relationship, investing into this relationship, if it's not going where I want to go. Now, this isn't about getting really, really controlling or trying to force certain outcomes. It's about sharing our dream. It's about sharing what we love, what we're excited about. And by telling someone on the first date that I'm really excited to meet the right partner and have a family with them, doesn't mean it's going to be them. It doesn't mean it has to be them. It's just who you are. So if you can share about who you are, what's exciting to you and what you value, you are going to repel and attract people accordingly. And that's what we're looking for. So if someone's a no, we want to find that out right away. We want to find that out early on instead of wasting months or years of our life exploring things with someone who never wanted what we wanted in the first place. Number three, your needs. This practice is powerful for both singles and couples. people that are already together, been in a relationship for years. Most people I speak with have a really difficult time getting their needs met in relationship. And this is partly because of the paradox we have discussed previously on this show, where we pick a partner who has a hard time giving us what we need. The thing that we need the most is typically the hardest thing for our partner to give us. Beyond that paradox, when we're not clear about what we need, it's difficult for our partner to know because we can't even tell them if they asked us. So this is the kind of practice that helps us cut through the tendency to lose ourselves in relationship and be disconnected from our own needs. So if we're going to make our relationship work, we both need to be willing to grow, make some changes, and be open to new ideas and approaches. Here's an example of one of my needs. I need a partner who has a growth mindset and is willing to work on things. Here's another. I need time and space by myself to enjoy my own hobbies and interests, read my own books, or watch a show that interests me. And if you really take a hard look, you'll have specific needs that are important to you. Some of them have been neglected in every relationship you've ever been in, but that stops now. You are taking a different path, and you're going to begin approaching your relationships from a place of responsibility. And part of that reality means that you understand that you are the only person who is responsible for getting your needs met. No one is going to do it for you. You're going to have to ask. You will have to be fully self-expressed and find ways to communicate about these things with the one that you love. And it doesn't stop there because our needs are also relevant in our other relationships. So while this practice is useful and effective, it also feels good to write down and acknowledge what your needs are. It is self-affirming. And some of us want to believe that we don't have any needs and we're fine. We're all good, but we're all needy in certain ways. And sometimes the avoidant partner who believes that they have no needs is actually the needier person in the relationship. They actually need a lot in order to feel safe and that things are okay. But they also wear a disguise that says, I'm all good. I don't need anything from anyone. And I'm here to say definitively that we all have needs. We might only have a short list, but we've got them. And if you're honest, you set aside 30 minutes to try this exercise, you will discover that you have many needs that are important to you. Things like kindness, respect, honesty, being treated fairly. Maybe you need your partner to look on the bright side from time to time. Maybe you need your partner to live on planet Earth and not be from another galaxy. Just get specific and write that down in a section titled My Needs. Phrase these needs in a positive context and clearly outline the ones you have. You might know what you hate or what disgusts you, and that's important, but this exercise is all about getting clear about what you need so you can ask for that in a positive context. You can tell your partner more about who you are. And it's easy to be frustrated, but it's much more difficult to articulate what it is that you want to have happen instead of the stressful or hurtful or anxious dynamics that might play out. So now you've got your value, your purpose, your needs, and the next major key is your deal breakers. It's helpful to have a list of things that simply don't work for you. And if you haven't found the right person yet, you probably know a bit about what doesn't work or what you don't want. Write that down. My deal breakers are, and fill in the blank. If you don't want kids, that might be a deal breaker. If you're sober and you don't drink alcohol, that might be a non-negotiable for you. Here are some topics that could be deal breakers and often are for people. Kids, alcohol and other drugs, religion, general mindset and attitude, maybe being fluent in your own native language, their geographic location, their employment status. During the pandemic, we saw women stating, I only date unvaccinated men, and vice versa. And say what you want about this filter or this deal breaker, but that's what it is. You know, the person's clear about what they want. Obviously, that one variable is not enough to select for the right partner. And I'm not here to judge what your deal breakers are. I just simply want to advocate for you to have them. And there's a line in the sand somewhere. You will not tolerate or accept certain things. I hope you don't tolerate certain dynamics that are toxic or abusive or inappropriate or disrespectful. So just get clear about what actually matters to you and write that down. Own it. Number 5, your unmet need. We have discussed this concept in previous episodes, so if you missed that, go back to episode 1. Episodes 6 and 7 also cover this if you want a deep dive on the concept. Essentially, all of us bring an unmet need from childhood into our adult relationships. So what is the thing that you wanted and needed the most as a child and didn't get? I've posed this question many times on this show. I'm going to continue to bring it up because it plays such a key role inside of our conflicts, inside of our misunderstandings, in the repetitive drama of our relationship. The answer is usually that we're not getting this need met, but we don't realize that that's driving the reactivity, that that's driving the energy of the situation. So the answer to this question usually points to some way that our parent or parents were not able to show up for us. And there's always an answer to this question because no one is perfect. We all have our deficits and weaknesses. So parents show up in less than ideal ways that create anxieties for their children. And eventually, this shows up inside of the power struggle dynamic in our adult romantic relationships. And it will require you and your partner to work together and stretch to meet each other's needs. Understanding this about yourself is helpful because you can get more clear on part of your hidden motivation to be in adult relationship. And part of our secret desire to be in relationship is to get our needs met in a way that we didn't as a child. You can ignore this and try to avoid it, but it will eventually show up in your romantic partnership and cause you stress. So instead of waiting for that to happen, do some discovery now. It will improve your ability to take responsibility for your fears and the things that make you feel anxious in your relationships. Some examples of unmet needs as a child could be things like, I needed to feel safe and secure. I needed the ability to make my own choices. I needed acceptance for who I am and non-judgment. I needed to be listened to and for people to be curious about me. When you're phrasing this and you're doing this discovery, you might think things or notice things like, well, I needed to not be spanked when I did something wrong. That's more of the negative experience that you had that you didn't want, which is relevant. But can you transform that into a need? Can you translate that to say, I needed to be treated with kindness. I needed to be guided. I needed positive reinforcement. Something along those lines would be a lot helpful because you're going to want to be able to phrase this and ask for this and state this in a clear way to your partner that helps them understand the experience that you want to have instead of just the experience that you don't want. So this is important because we often select partners who have a hard time meeting our needs. If you don't understand this yet, go back, listen to episode 1. If you complete this exploration, you will have a comprehensive document that highlights a lot about who you are and what is important and what you want to create with your ideal partner. The great part about these exercises is that you can reference them at any time. If they're on your phone, you can just pull it out. They're right there. If you're feeling stuck on a date, feeling anxious, or feeling a bit ungrounded, review your list. Get back in touch with your value and what you're looking for in a partner. Sometimes on dates, there are questions that we avoid. There are things that we're holding in our mind we know are important to us, and we fail to bring that up. We fail to get this person to clearly acknowledge or address or tell us something that lets us know that, oh yeah, they get that, and they're aligned for the same thing. They're on board. We want to head the same direction. I created this note myself when I was dating before I met my partner. And it really helped me get clear It helped me not make certain compromises or sacrifices. It slowed me down instead of being in too much of a rush. I would review the note on my way to the date. So if I'm walking there or if I'm driving there, I might go early and just read it for 5 or 10 minutes in the car. If you're in the middle of a date, you can easily excuse yourself to the bathroom and take your phone with you and open up your note. And that might inspire certain questions, or it might inspire you to show up a certain way inside of the conversation. It might interrupt a people-pleasing pattern where you just tell the person things that you think they want to hear instead of telling more of the truth about who you are. So instead of being in a rush to jump into bed with your date or wondering if they like you or spiraling on an insecure thought, return to more of a calm, confident state and come back to the conversation. Come back to the things that are actually important and ask questions from a place of worth. Don't be an asshole and you know, put them down or be condescending, but hold yourself with respect. And this kind of position is both open-hearted and available, but also protective and unwilling to just give yourself away to the first person who shows some interest. So try this and notice how it shifts your energy or your approach in certain ways. Many of us are dealing with a scarcity mindset. We're afraid that there's no one out there for us, or there's no good ones left in my city. All the good ones are taken. All the great partners are hitched. In my experience, you're going to meet a lot of people who are not a fit, but you're also sometimes in your own way from the get-go. You've got your own limiting beliefs. You have your own scarcity ideas that affect some of the choices that you make and your perception about what's possible for you. In this dating process, you're going to have to sort and filter through a lot of options. You're going to have to say no. You're going to be let down and disappointed sometimes. This is why dating is a vulnerable experience. We're not interviewing someone to DoorDash our food one night. We're talking about evaluating someone as to whether our heart will be safe with them. Is this a person that I want to be close with? Can I trust this person with the most intimate details of my life? And it usually takes some time to figure that out. With all the excitement and neurochemicals being pumped through our system, we benefit from slowing down a bit and being more intentional with our approach. So if you listen to this podcast but didn't write anything down, consider playing this episode again, pulling out a pen and paper or your phone and writing down answers to these questions. Once you listen to one of the major keys, just hit pause and do some reflection. And if something I said doesn't resonate or doesn't work for you, that's okay. You don't have to believe what I believe. I simply want to provoke you to think differently about your approach. Because if you've been doing something that isn't working for you, it's time to try something new. So that's it for this week. And if you're listening to this in a place where you can share, thumbs up, or leave a 5-star review, it would mean a lot to me. It helps the show grow and helps more people benefit from the ideas that are being shared here. As many of you know, the show has no sponsors, no ads, no wasting your time. So we're simply going to grow through word of mouth. And I appreciate your help on that. Thanks for your support. All right, we'll see you next week.